Dr. Pam Popper, 614-523-8716. Good morning, everybody. First, before we get into today's message, which is very interesting, a couple of announcements. Tomorrow night, Conversations with Chef Dell at 9 p.m. Chef is going to talk about summer grilling and some creative ideas for those of us who eat plants instead of dead, decaying flesh on the grill. So, and then next Monday, Lindsay Nixon, author of The Happy Herbivore, is going to be our guest speaker on our member call. She is so enthusiastic and has so many interesting things to say. Love this girl. I think you will too. And that's 9 p.m. next Monday. And then remember, in just 3 short weeks, the Diet and Lifestyle Intervention course starts on June 6th, and this is your opportunity to learn from home from people like Dr. Campbell, Dr. Esselstyn, Dr. Barnard, Dr. Goldhammer, me, and there's a mental health and a vaccination module. I mean, it's just an amazing course, and it is approved for CEs for dietitians. So let's go on to today's message. I've been telling women, mostly women, they're usually prescribed for women, not to take bisphosphonate drugs, which are used to treat osteoporosis and osteopenia for many years. Lots of reasons for this. The tests that result in these diagnoses are not reliable, and the drugs are useless and harmful. Those are the main reasons. A recent FDA review resulted in the same conclusions regarding the efficacy of the drugs. The review found little benefit to long-term use and also concluded that women who are prescribed the drug to treat osteopenia are particularly unlikely to benefit from taking the drugs for a long time and should stop after 3 years. Now, since osteopenia is really a mythical condition, the better option would be no drug therapy. We have a strict rule in our office not to treat people for conditions that are made up, but at least the FDA is suggesting some limitations on treatment for mythical conditions. The report noted that women often stop taking the drugs on their own due to common side effects like nausea, heartburn, and flu-like symptoms, but even taking this into consideration, the researchers estimate that 60 to 70% of women currently taking the drug would be candidates to discontinue it. This will make a huge dent in what has become a multi-billion dollar business. In fact, 150 million prescriptions for Fosamax were written between 2005 and 2009. Interestingly enough, the FDA findings were based on 2 industry-sponsored studies. The industry likes to report results based on relative instead of absolute terms. The fracture intervention trial showed that after 3 years, 2.1% of women who took Fosamax had fractures as compared to 3.8% of women who took a placebo. This is a 44% reduction in relative terms, but in absolute terms, it's only a 1.7% reduction in risk, not a 44% reduction. It's a very small benefit. The FDA researchers found no benefit at all during the next 5 to 10 years, and the same was true with reclast. In absolute terms, not much short-term benefit and little to no benefit in the long term. The studies did not show an increased risk of side effects such as fractures of the femur bone, but the researchers noted that the study sizes were too small to detect such events. Nonetheless, there have now been thousands of reported incidents as well as osteonecrosis of the jaw, both a major concern. The report was published in the New England Journal of Medicine with hopes that doctors might read it in order to have informed discussions with their patients, but my colleagues are often not easily persuaded by facts, so I won't hold my breath on this, and I'll continue my efforts to educate women to stay away from DEXA machines and drugs for conditions identified by those machines. So for more information on the topic, there are lots of referenced articles in the Health Briefs Online Library and lots of information in my book, Solving America's Healthcare Crisis. That's all for now, and have a great day.